Praise the Lord. Well, it's great to have Marcia with me today. She's going to be sharing God's word with me this morning. Last week, we began talking about the Holy Spirit in this brand new series, and we learned that the Holy Spirit is God. Somebody say, the Holy Spirit is God. He's God just as much as the Father is God. He's God just as much as the Son is God. He's all present. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And in short, he's just awesome. Somebody say, the Holy Spirit is awesome.
Awesome. And we learn that he is just like Jesus in every single way. We learn that the Holy Spirit is not an it.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is not a thing. But the Holy Spirit, he is a person. And we can talk to him every day, and we can ask him questions about life.
Yeah, matter of fact, I was talking with some people this morning just on the impact that that message had. And Gail, who is working in the cafe today, Gail, would you just wave at everybody? I want you to stand up. Would y'all give all our cafe workers a hand today? Her and Miss Tina were in there today. Miss Sally oversees that. Thank God for them. And if you haven't tried the pumpkin donut, you need to. But anyway, she was saying how she began talking to the Holy Spirit this week and the impact it's had on her life. And so we learned that Jesus said having the Holy Spirit inside us is actually better than having Jesus beside us. Isn't that good? Jesus always gives us something better. And so I encouraged everyone last week to do something that might seem strange, but I encourage you to each meal this week, take time and set a place at the table for the Holy Spirit. A plate, silverware, napkin, a cup, a seat. Actually, I got this seat out last week as a reminder that the Holy Spirit is here right now. He's here with us right now. Just kind of whisper to yourself, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here with me right now. Thank you that you're here with me right now. And so he's here with us, and it was, we did that this week, and it made for some really interesting conversation, to say the least.
Yes, they set the table, and they set the Holy Spirit beside me, and we were all, took our place at the table, and Anna looks up, she goes, Mom is so lucky, she gets to sit by the Holy Spirit. It was just conversation like that at the table. It's a little bit different.
We figured you needed him the most.
Oh, see? Thanks a lot.
Just kidding.
And then she needed an extra napkin, and she reached over, and she took the Holy Spirit's napkin. She's like, ooh, I got his napkin. So it was it's a little different at our house.
Marcia was a little bit uncomfortable at times.
I was like, but I'm not too sure about all this.
But it's something really we should acknowledge that he's here, because Jesus said, again, having the Holy Spirit inside us is actually better than having Jesus beside us. So if you have a Bible today, I want you to go to John chapter 14 again. We read from John 14, 15, and 16 last Sunday. And so in this passage, if you'll let me set it up for you, Jesus is having one conversation, even though it's broken up by chapter numbers. They put that in later, but he and the disciples are in the upper room. They're about to observe the Lord's Supper, or communion as we call it, for the very first time. Jesus is only hours away from being arrested, taken away from them, crucified on a cross. 3 days later, he's going to rise from the dead, and shortly after that, he'll ascend back to the Father's right hand where he's seated in victory. But here's what you need to understand. They've spent 3.5 years of their lives living together. They've spent 3.5 years of their lives growing together. They've spent 3.5 years of their life walking together, talking together, laughing together, learning together, crying together. They have fallen completely in love with Jesus Christ, this man from Nazareth, who they knew as the Messiah, the Son of God. And they've given up their lives, and they've left everything behind to follow after him. And Jesus was a real person. Somebody say, a real person. In other words, they could touch him, they could feel him, they could see him, they could smell him, they could hear him when he spoke to them. He was a real companion, he was a real helper, he was a real teacher, he was a real friend. So naturally, when Jesus starts talking about leaving them, his followers get scared of being alone. They begin to have some separation anxiety. And for good reason, because they've built their life upon this man. They have become totally dependent on him. They are literally helpless without Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper.
Four different times in this conversation, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit our helper. When something is repeated over and over that close together, I think we better take notice. So let's take a closer look. We're going to start in John chapter 14, verse 16. And it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Now let's go down to verse 26. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now let's go to chapter 15, verse 26. 15, verse 26, it says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." And now let's go down to chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." So we see in these scriptures again and again that the Holy Spirit is here to help.
Right.
You know, I like to help others. I want to help others. It gives me great joy to help other people. When I'm in the grocery store or something, I see somebody struggling to reach something, even though I'm short.
I was just thinking that.
I know, you're going to make fun, but I do effort to help them get it. You'll see me climbing the shelves to get it for them. Or if something's too heavy for them to put in their cart or their car, but can I help you with that? And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is here with us every day, and he is saying to you, "May I help you?"
Let's say that. Why don't you look at your neighbor and tell him this morning, "May I help you? May I help you?" Why don't you look at your neighbor on the other side and ask them, "May I help you?" So the Holy Spirit's here to help us reach things we couldn't attain otherwise. Let's take a minute and just invite him. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for your presence already here among us. Holy Spirit, we just ask right now that you would reveal yourself to each and every one of us today in a greater way than ever before, that we would know you as a mighty, mighty, mighty member of the Trinity and as a person, a personal friend, that we would know what it's like to be in fellowship and relationship and partnership with you, working with you, but we would know your intimacy, and we would feel that more than ever before, just how close you are to us, that you're here right now, helping us to reach the things we can't reach without you. Most of all, I pray that this day, if there's someone here that's not born again, if they haven't yet called on Jesus as their Savior, that before we leave, Holy Spirit, show them how good you are. Show them what Jesus has done for them. And I pray that they would reach out and receive brand new life. We thank you, God, for new hearts. In Jesus' name, we ask you to make us more like Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So helper, four times, Marcia just read it, four different times, we see that Jesus calls him the helper. It's the same Greek word in all four of these scriptures. It's the Greek word parakletos, parakletos, not parakeets, but parakletos. And it's two Greek words. The first one is para, and para means near or very close or alongside. Come over here near me. Come be para with me. This is what para is all about. And then the second word is kaleo, and it means to call. So in other words, it's literally to call alongside. I just called Marcia to come and be near me. Well, Jesus, he called the Holy Spirit to come and be near you. He prayed the Father that the Holy Spirit would come and live inside us so that we wouldn't be orphans. And it describes someone who's called near to walk with us and to help us. Now, Marcia is my paraclete in life, and this is a great example because we live together, we work together, we eat together, we shop together, we sleep together, we raise kids together, we pastor together, sometimes we even brush our teeth together, but we don't use the same toothbrush.
It sounds like a lot of togetherness.
But the point is we're...
I might want to rethink that.
You suggesting something there?
I didn't realize there was that much.
But we're always together, literally. And I don't recommend that for everybody. Okay? That, if you're not called to do that, I don't recommend it. But we're side...
Amen.
Thanks, babe. We're side by side all the time, literally. And she is my helper. And I couldn't do what I need to do without her. Matter of fact, there's a lot I just can't do, period, without her. But Jesus was telling us our relationship with the Holy Spirit is not going to be distant. And just like you have been with me, Jesus said, he says the Holy Spirit is going to be here with you. In other words, he's close. You don't have to beg him to be with you, right? He's already there. Your heart became his home the moment you were born again. The moment you believed, Carla, in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. The moment you confessed with your mouth, Jesus, your Lord in my life. The moment you turned toward Jesus, which is repentance. You turned towards your way, you turned towards God's way. You turned towards your old life and you turned towards God's life. The moment you did that, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and he moved in on the inside of us. And he literally brings the reality of Jesus Christ into our lives. And he helps us overcome any challenges we face. So the Holy Spirit is here to help. The Holy Spirit is here to help. Let's say that this morning. The Holy Spirit is here to help. The Holy Spirit, let's say it one more time, is here to help. And let's talk about some of the ways that he can help you.
One of the ways he can help you is he helps us by confirming our new identity in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." The Holy Spirit convinces me. You know, sometimes I need some convincing. Sometimes I doubt who I've become, that I really am what God says I am. I really have what God says I have. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I can really do what God says I can do. I really am a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus, an heir to God. I have an inheritance that my past really is gone.
Yeah, that's good.
My old life and old ways have passed away, and he has made me a brand new person. Hallelujah. Satan will always, always, always try to use your past to discourage you from stepping into God's plan. You know, I need the Holy Spirit's help to remind me that I don't have a past. That I really am loved, that I am lovable, that I am accepted, that I am in right standing. I am pleasing to my Father. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Message Bible said, God's Spirit touches our spirit, and listen to this, and confirms who we really are. Confirms who we are. As believers really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. How awesome is that? I need confirmation and the Holy Spirit gives that to me. Mm-hmm. I know that I know that I know who I am in Christ. So much so that we are willing to die for what we believe in because we are fully convinced.
Amen. How many of you today can say, I'm fully convinced? I know that I know that I know that I know he's the Son of God and he's Lord of my life. If that's you, let me hear you this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Now, he also lets the believer know when we're acting out of character with our new identity. So he doesn't just tell us who we've become. He reminds us because there are times when I start acting like the old me. And that old guy is gone. And we call that conviction. In John chapter 16, verse 8 in the Amplified, I like the way this one says it. It says, when he comes, he will convict and convince. You talked about him convincing, but he also convicts the world and brings demonstration to it. I love that he shows us, he demonstrates God to it about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. Three things there he'll convict about. And so he shows us when we've missed it. How many of you have missed it since you've been born again? Okay, praise God. That he's there to show us where we missed it, how we missed it, and how to recover from our mistakes. Because the reality is, everybody makes mistakes. But the difference is how we handle those things afterward. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us learn from our mistakes and overcome them so that we can experience victory in every area of our lives. And here's what you've got to know. The Holy Spirit will convict you to change you. And even though it's uncomfortable, don't run from it. How many of you trust your doctor? Wow. If you're in the medical profession, we need to start praying. Let's make the assumption most people, when they go into the doctor's office, do put some level of trust in his hands. But, you know, sometimes the doctor will do some things to you that aren't very comfortable, are they? When you go to get that annual exam, some things that may not be very comfortable. But, you know, sometimes they might even be painful, right? But we trust him that what he's doing or what he's taking in or taking out or what he's putting in is something that needs to be done for our well-being. Well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, when he convicts us, he's showing us something that needs to be removed. And sometimes it might be painful, but don't run from that, because he will convict you to change you. But he will never condemn you to shame you, ever. And so what happens is he makes that conviction come upon us, and we become uncomfortable to the point where we say, I'm not willing to live this way anymore, and I want there to be change, and he gives us the power to do it. And so one of the great tests that there are to decide whether it's condemnation from the devil beating me up or conviction from the Holy Spirit transforming me into the likeness and the image of Christ is very simply to ask yourself this. Condemnation pushes you out of the presence of God, but conviction brings you into the presence of God. See, the Bible says in John 6:44 that no man can come to the Father unless he's drawn. Conviction draws people in. It doesn't kick them out. Condemnation says you're unworthy because you sinned. But conviction says you're too worthy to sin. You're better than this. You've been seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's good news.
Yes, it is. The Holy Spirit helps us discover and enjoy our inheritance in Christ. In John chapter 16, verse 14, it says, he will honor and glorify me because he will take care of, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal it to you. He will declare it to you. He will disclose it to you. He will transmit it to you. The Holy Spirit will take what belongs to Jesus and show them to us. Some of you may be asking yourself, well, what exactly does belong to Jesus? Well, I've got some good news for you. He answers that in the very next verse. In John 16, verse 15, it says, all things that the Father has are mine. I love that. All things. The Holy Spirit shows us all the incredible benefits of being a child of God. He reveals to us how to maximize living in covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you start walking in that blessing, when you begin walking those promises of God, it glorifies Jesus. Why? Because he is the one who paid for the life that you enjoy. There is nothing more attractive than people watching a person who loves their life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, because we are united with Christ, we have received. You see that word receive there? That is past tense, which tells us it's already ours. We need the Holy Spirit to show us what's already ours. And it says right there, because we're united with Christ, we have received, it's already ours, an inheritance from God. What's his has now become ours. Now that's good news. Yeah. We are so blessed. We are so rich. Hallelujah.
Amen. How many of you are grateful to have an inheritance in Christ today? Amen. We are wealthy. We are blessed. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who loved him. God has prepared some things for those who love him that are just mind-blowing to you. And that's where most people stop. But if you keep reading, it says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. So just what you said, Marcia, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the things Jesus has provided for us. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. The Holy Spirit's a revealer. Verse 12 says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit. Here's why. So we can know the wonderful things God's freely given us. God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can know what Jesus provided for us at Calvary. How many of you know today, God's best belongs to you, not later, not when you get to heaven, but right now because of the blood Jesus Christ shed on Calvary for you. God's best is yours today. How many of you know that this morning? Amen? We went on our first cruise a few years back. And I love being in the water. I'm just a water worm, and Anna and Zoe are like that. Anytime we can be in the water, we're
notice
in it.
He left me out of that. I'm a water worm, Anna, Zoe.
But, yeah. Well, you're a good swimmer. But they have what's called a flow rider on there. It's a wave that it shoots out, and you get on there with either a boogie board or a surfboard, and you can surf or do the boogie board without really going anywhere. And so we would go back there, and they have stands around it where you can watch them, and some of the people are really good at it. And I'm watching it, chomping at the bit. I'm like, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. But I thought, man, it's going to cost a fortune. And so we go back there regularly throughout that week, and we're watching them do the wave rider, and I'm thinking, man, I want to do that. Every day is clicking off, and I'm not doing it. And finally, on the last day, I think it was that Friday, I went to the office there, the sports office, and I said to them, I want to pay to do the flow rider. And they look at me kind of crooked, and they're like, it doesn't cost anything. And all week long, I've been sitting there looking at something other people are doing. I'm an outsider looking in thinking, man, it sure would be nice. I'd sure enjoy that. That looks like a whole lot of fun. And I go to the office and they tell me it's free. It was a part of your ticket. It was already included in the expense of your cruise. And can I tell you today, there's a lot of Christians like that. We're sitting on the outside looking in, watching other people enjoy the life God provided, watching God's best in their life and thinking to ourselves, man, if I could just be a part, I haven't been good enough. I don't deserve that. And we're sitting on the outside, on the sidelines, in the bleachers. And meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, it's already been paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's time for you to jump in the water and start enjoying the blessings and benefits of being a child of God.
That's right. That's right. I love this about the Holy Spirit, that He is your personal guide through life. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is here to lead. Mm-hmm. He is here to direct. He is here to chaperone. The Holy Spirit is here to manage. He is here to show, steer, and point you. Now, some of you husbands thought, man, I thought that was my wife's job. I got good news. It isn't. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one to lead, direct, chaperone, manage, show, and steer, and point you. I know all about this because Josh, he needs some guidance. When we are driving somewhere, it doesn't matter where we're going, Williamsport, Elmira, places that are so close and we've been there like 100 times, he can get off course, he can get turned around, he can get lost in a hurry. Josh needs somebody pointing him in the right direction. You gonna say anything? He knows it's true. He needs me.
It's true.
And a GPS, and I'm not even kidding.
It's true.
I'm telling him, the little woman in the box is telling him, and she'll say turn in like 100 feet. He thinks that means turn instantly, and he gets all frustrated, and I'll be like, Josh, see that little purple line? And I'm like trying to explain to him, that's you, and the others are the roads, and he gets so frustrated. So he needs, I'm not even kidding, a GPS
she
and
lies.
A person. Now you gotta repent. You're gonna be convicted. But he needs so much help.
Little woman in the box. I like that description.
Well, he needs a little woman in the box.
Somebody's going to go to Sam's this week to buy a GPS. They're going to be like, I need one of them little women in a box. Security.
They know what I'm talking about. You see, a GPS tells you where to go and what's coming in the future. It tells you if there are problems ahead that will slow you down. It will reroute you to avoid the trouble spots. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. He is not only my personal guide for the now, but He also helps me prepare for the future.
I love that.
That's good news. Mm-hmm. And in John chapter 16, verse 13, He says, He will tell you things to come. There have been times in my life when the Holy Spirit has warned me that rough waters were ahead. And you know what that did for me? It helped me to brace myself and prepare for what was coming. Just like the people have in Florida this past weekend, how they were warned so they could prepare and brace themselves for the hurricane. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for us. He warns us. He prepares us for the future.
Amen. Absolutely. And that reminds me, let's just take a moment and pray for them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every person that's been affected by the devastation of that hurricane, especially in Haiti, Father, for those without the resources to recover. I pray that nobody be left behind by this. I pray that nobody be forgotten. And most of all, I pray that your Holy Spirit would comfort them right now. I think of the Murrays, Latoya and Jason and their family. And God, I just pray that you comfort them as they're flooded into their home, that you would provide for them, that no one would have any issues with starvation, but Lord, you would send to them everything they need. And Lord, we just thank you now and praise you for minimizing the loss of life and most of all discouragement. We bind and rebuke that and just release your strength and your grace into the people affected. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Another thing I love that the Holy Spirit does for us is he helps us by teaching us. Now, I don't know about you, but I need a teacher. And I like this because if you've never been to college, it's okay. If you've never been to Bible school, it's okay. You don't need to go to Bible school to understand your Bible extremely well. A matter of fact, the greatest preachers I know and the greatest mentors in my life were individuals who never went to Bible college. Now, I am not in any way demeaning an education because the Bible says study to show yourself approved. It's very important. But I want you to not be discouraged. And I want you to understand that no matter who you are, you have a teacher today, and the Holy Spirit will teach us. Actually, the Bible says in John 14, 26, that he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. I love that. Not just things about the Word of God, but he will teach you all truth. How many of you know there's truth in science? How many of you know there's truth in the natural things? There's truth in grammar. There's truth in mathematics. There's truth. Why? Because God created the world. It was George Washington Carver that said, God, show me the mysteries of the universe. He said, your mind cannot handle it. He said, okay, show me the mysteries of a peanut. And so God began to reveal to him 400 different ways the peanut could be used. And he left a mark on history. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here to teach us and bring to our remembrance all things that Jesus has said to us. And so the Holy Spirit is here with us right now as born-again believers to teach us everything you need to know. Now, I want you to think about a teacher. How many of you are teachers this morning? Are there any teachers here today? Thank God for you. I see several of you with your hands up. Would y'all let all our teachers know how much we love them? A teacher, think about this, they advise, they correct, they clarify, they patiently explain, they instruct, they train, they tutor. They prepare us for our assignments, and they equip us to pass the test. And I want you to know today that because of the Holy Spirit, we always have access to the answers we need. We can always be prepared for the assignments we face. We can always be ready to pass whatever test we face in life. But he's also our reminder, the Bible says. Anyone ever forgotten something and it just drives you nuts? Maybe you misplaced something. I hate that. But one of the things I do, and 9 out of 10 times God answers this prayer, I say, Holy Spirit, will you remind me what that was I'd forgotten or where that was? I've done it twice already this morning, and he answered it both times, and he helps us remember. He's a reminder. Well, why, Josh, do we need a reminder? Very simply, because we're prone to forgetting. We're prone to forgetting what God said. We're prone to forgetting what God did. We're prone to forgetting where we're headed and getting focused on now. We're prone to forgetting what belongs to us already. So we start acting like beggars when Jesus said, you're an heir to me and you're a joint heir to me. And I've given you all things. You have an inheritance. So we have a divine reminder. He's like the ultimate post-it note. How about that?
That's my favorite. He helps us to live in victory every single day. Remember, the word helper in Greek is parakletos, like Josh talked about at the beginning. And if you served as a Greek or Roman soldier, before you would go into battle, you would be paired up with another soldier, a partner, a paraclete. A paraclete was your partner who would fight with you and for you. He would come and stand back to back or shield to shield with you. Your paraclete had your back. He had you covered. They fought together to victory, or they fell together in defeat. Every soldier knew their paraclete would never leave them behind or alone. The paraclete was your wingman. Mm-hmm. You shared one mission together.
I like that. He's a wingman. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who's in you." Well, who is in you is a born-again believer. Who is in you is a born-again believer. The Holy Spirit. He who's in you, or the Holy Spirit in you, is greater than he who's in the world. Well, who's in the world? Satan. So the Holy Spirit in you is greater than Satan is in the world. And so we can never forget that that means the power in me is greater than the pressure outside of me. And many times we feel that pressure. The world is constantly applying pressure to our life, trying to squeeze us into its mold. Do this, drink this, wear this, act this, talk this way, buy this, be on this. But the pressure of the Holy Spirit's presence inside me is greater than Satan's pressure coming down on the outside of me. And sometimes we just need a reminder of that the Holy Spirit enables us to stand up against the temptation to cave in. Whether it's stress or anxiety or the load that life puts on you, you can know today that you don't have to be crushed by it, because the pressure on the inside of you and his presence on the inside of you is much greater than what's on the outside of you. And that means I don't have to collapse.
Absolutely. And that paraclete or partner was there for two reasons. Number one, it was to help you accomplish your mission. He helped you complete your specific assignment. And the Holy Spirit is here to help you find, fulfill, and finish your divine destiny that you have in Christ. Your destiny is that purpose for which you were created. Mm-hmm. Each and every one of you were created for a specific purpose. Each of you have a divine assignment from God. Do you believe that?
Yes, absolutely.
Your existence is proof that this world needs something God has deposited into your life. Mm-hmm. And when we acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence in us and with us every single day, he will help us experience his power. He will strengthen us where we are weak. He will replace our inability with his ability. He will replace our insecurities with his confidence. He will help us finish the mission God created for us and leave our world better than we found it. You have a mission. If you are a son or a daughter, a student, an employee, a boss, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a citizen, no matter who you are, you have a mission, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish that mission.
Absolutely. So the first thing a paraclete would do is he would help you accomplish your mission. The second thing he helped you do is he'd help you to get back home safe. Now, how many of you know Jesus said in John chapter 14, I believe it is, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Randy, I will come again and I will personally receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus goes to the cross. He sheds his blood. He dies there. He doesn't die for an institution. He dies for individuals. Let me try that one more time. He didn't die for an institution. I know that's a lot of the times the way we think about the church. We've institutionalized it. But he died for individuals. He died for your heart. He died for my heart. You are the treasure he desires. The church is what he's building. And if he paid the ultimate price, if he laid down his life for us, Marcia, if he poured out his blood to buy us as slaves back from Satan, to buy our freedom, to buy us out of death, to purchase us into life, he had to absolutely trust somebody. Who can I trust to get them back home to me? In the time of my absence, between the time I am raised from the dead and ascend to the Father and the time I meet them face to face, who is it, Father, who I can trust to get them back to us? I think we'll send them the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit he entrusts with his most priceless possession. That's you and that's me. And he says, "I trust my Spirit to make sure that he gets you from where I hand you off to where I am. From the day you're born again till the day you draw your last breath or that trumpet sounds and you meet Jesus face to face, it is the Holy Spirit helping you to walk this life, helping you to glorify Jesus, helping you to lift Him up. He's the one revealing Christ on the inside of us. He's here at work like a carpenter this morning, changing and transforming us into the likeness and the image of God so that I look less like the old me and I look more glorious like Jesus every single day. Can you say amen?
Amen. The Holy Spirit is the best paraclete you could ever have. Amen. And in John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He, the Holy Spirit, may abide," or basically live in with you forever. Friends come and go, but the Holy Spirit stays. He is there when you're on top of life, and He's also there when life is on top of you. His presence is not a feeling. Let me say that again. His presence is not a feeling. He is here when you feel Him, and He is still here when you don't. He doesn't move out and move in. Your body is His temple, not a rental.
That's good.
He is here 24/7, 365. You don't have to do life all by yourself. The Holy Spirit is here to help. Invite Him to be a part and include Him in your everyday life.
See, God wants us to rely on the Holy Spirit the same way the disciples relied on Jesus. For 3 years, Jesus was their leader. He taught them. He mentored them. He trained them. He was a prophet. He was their revealer. He was their miracle worker, and He was their healer. They did not do anything without Jesus. He taught them everything they knew. He was the center of their lives. He was the focus of their attention. And in the same way Jesus came and did life with them, the Holy Spirit is here to do life with you. The Holy Spirit is someone to do life with, just like Jesus was. He is our life mate. Think about this. With Jesus at their side, life was full of excitement. It was adventurous. It was full of joy, victory, power, healing, miracles. They had become totally dependent on Jesus, the man, the Son of God. They could not imagine doing life without Him. And Victory Church, we came to tell you this morning, we must become the same with the Holy Spirit. We must develop a dependency on the Holy Spirit where we look to Him to lead us and help us and guide us every day of our lives, because so many Christians have known Jesus for year after year, but they never knew that they could have this kind of intimate friendship and dynamic partnership with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't hear anything else we say today, hear this one statement. You must engage Him if you want to experience Him. Stand with me this morning, won't you? You must engage Him if you want to experience Him. Let me say that again. We must engage Him if we want to experience Him. Repeat after me. Say, I must engage Him.
Engage Him.
In order to experience him. How many of you want to experience everything God has for you? Would you just raise your hand? Keep your hand up. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Holy Spirit,
I
need your help.
I need your help.
Forgive me.
For trying
to do life
without it.
I need your guidance.
I receive
you.
As my helper.
And life partner. I invite you. Into every area of my life. Nothing.
Is off limits.
No matter.
How painful.
Every area.
I have avoided.
And ignored. And shied away from. The things. That I'm ashamed of.
The things that have caused me to be insecure.
I open them to you right now. Release your strength.
Your comfort.
Your your security, your presence, your power, and your peace inside of me.
I will always give you the glory.
Help me to glorify Jesus. I thank you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, church, let's celebrate this morning for stepping in to greater engagement and experiencing God's presence in your life. Let me tell you this today. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. How many of you have ever blown it or sinned? Just raise your hand and wave at me. I want you to look around this morning. Every person here is in that boat and has sinned at some point in their life. We've all been confined under sin. But the Bible says that God showed us how much He loved us and that while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. Sin is what separates us from a holy God. He is holy. There is no sin in Him. Sin cannot even come into His presence. But Jesus lived a sinless life for sinful people and He died on the cross. And if we believe that Jesus was our substitute and 3 days later God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says if you call on His name, you can be saved. And the Holy Spirit, the holiest of all spirit, the holiest and purest of God's spirit has the ability to move into a sinful heart and make it brand new from the inside out and not just renovate you, but build something brand new that is so holy and so pure and so perfect that the Spirit of God Himself can live inside of you. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Josh, today I need Jesus. I want the Holy Spirit to come move into my life. I want to be born again. I need to be made brand new. I've done life my way. I've sinned and I need a Savior. Today I want to be one to call on Jesus. Friend, you can be saved this morning. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, if you've never done it, or if you're here and you need to recommit your life, I want you to shoot your hand up. 1, 2, 3. Josh, that's me. Thank you for your honesty. Is there someone else? Thank you right there for your honesty. Is there another one here today?